Hi, it's Jeff Robbins from Lullabot, and it's May 25th, 2006. What you're about to listen to is the first Drupal teleconference. We had some technical problems. We could say it's sort of a pre-release alpha version of the teleconference. There was a lot of beeping, and people were having microphone problems, and Skype was doing various robot noises on people's voices and that sort of thing. So we're still working out the technology to make this work best. I'm going to do what I can to try and edit it and clean up the audio so that it's legible. But we're thinking that maybe what we'll do is try and get some of these people onto one of the Lullabot podcasts and do a sort of a proper interview, free from beeping and other oddities. But I'll do what I can to clean this up and just to keep it intact. What follows is an edited version of today's Drupal teleconference.
Robin asked me to talk about the history and the future of Drupal. The history part is a little bit boring, I think, especially for developers, most of whom are already familiar with the history of Drupal. So I decided to talk about the future instead and about the short-term future in particular. So what I want to do here is go over some of the changes I would like to see happen in Drupal Core. It's just some of the things people are working on. So the goal of this presentation is to give like a quick overview of everything which is happening in Drupal land. Well, not everything, but like some of the key issues which are happening in Drupal land. And it's not to to define what everybody should be working on and what people shouldn't be working on. I just want to share what I think is important for Drupal and how I hope we can work together. So the driving motivation for many of the things we'll talk about is the need to make Drupal more accessible. And I've mentioned this a couple of times, and I wrote about this on my weblog, but I believe that for Drupal to be competitive and to remain competitive, we must make it as easy to use as possible. Now, why? Well, because all content management systems, they become more and more the same. So almost all of the systems available out there, they have like all the critical functionality covered, so all the functionality needed to make a certain type of site. And as a result, people no longer pick a content management system based on the feature set. Like, they all have the same functionality by now. They soon will have. But instead, they pick a content management system by how easy it is to use. So what does that mean for Drupal? Well, I think it means that for users, we have to make Drupal easier to use and easier to work with. And that for developers, we have to make Drupal easier to develop for. For designers, we have to make Drupal easier to design for. And Beth is asking me to define users, and I think users are just people who download Drupal and use it to set up a website indeed. So I think there's users, developers, and designers. And for all of these target audiences, we need to make Drupal easier. Now, anyway, I think I have about 10 or 15 minutes to talk, or at least according to the original schedule, so I should probably move on to the list of things I would love to see people work on. It's obvious that there is a lot of work to do, and this is probably where a power slide would come in handy. Point slide, the first item on my list would probably getting the install system into Drupal Core. Now, the goal of the install system is to make it easy to install Drupal, which is going to benefit many of the users. There is really two important components to the install system. On the one hand, there is requirement checking. which allows you to see whether your Apache configuration and your PHP configuration matches all the requirements you need to install Drupal, which will also be useful to see whether any of these requirements have changed after you install Drupal. And the second part, install profiles. Now, has been working on file system and install profiles, and is currently asking for a financial donation to help fund and coordinate the remaining work. So if you want to help with this, maybe get in touch with Kieran Lau, his nickname is Amazon, or maybe even with Jeremy Andrews, who did, I believe, most of the implementation work, or just check the Civic Space website. Even if you can donate money, you can probably help by contributing codes or even by reviewing or testing the patches. This is actually, the install system is actually one of the things I would like to see go into core as soon as possible, because if you're reading the forums or if you talk to people, you know many people that are really eager to start maintaining an install profile. So the sooner we can get this into Drupal core, the better. So, I think that's about it by the install system. The second item on my list is the of the content construction kit, or the CCK for short. For those who are not familiar with the CCK, the CCK is a module, or actually a set of modules, contributed modules, that allow you to create new notebooks through the administration interface, rather than having to write a module for that. So you don't have to write code, but instead you can just create new node types by clicking some buttons. It's a little bit like, or it's very much like FlexiNode, like the FlexiNode modules, only better. Currently, the CCK is a contributed module, so it's not part of core. And what I would like to see happen is that we make this module, or the CCK, to become part of Drupal core, and which means that it will be part of all Drupal installations or all future Drupal installations. Now, the integration of the CCK, it's going to be a sweeping change, because it's a big module, and it actually resembles a little bit of a heart transplantation for Drupal. So we take a very important piece of Drupal out of Drupal, and we're going to replace it by something else. So it's a very big change, and therefore I think it will probably take several releases to get the CCK integrated into Drupal core. And I think that's okay. What's the point here, or what is important here, is that we start working on this now, and that we set this train in motion so that we actually start working towards integration of the CCK. Now, THX or Caroli has been working on a patch to integrate some of the basic functionality into core. So if you want to help with that, you should probably check out the patch you have been working on, or you should get in touch with the CCK godfathers, John Van Dijk and Jonathan Schaeffer. So I'm hoping that some of these people are actually going to take a lead in this. We'll have to see what happens. We have the install system. That was item one. Secondly, we have the integration of the CCK. And so the third item on my list would be the integration of the views module. And for those who don't know the views module, it's a module written by Earl Miles, and his nickname is Merlin of Chaos. And the module essentially allows you to present content in various ways. So, for example, you could use the views module to create a page that shows all blog entries from user A that talk about topic B that you haven't read yet. So it's best to think of it as some kind of a query builder, which allows you to create custom pages with content. So if you haven't tried to use module yet, you really should, because it's a pretty impressive module, and it's great fun to toy with. So just like the CCK, the Views module is a contributed module that I believe could or should be integrated into Drupal core. And again, like the CCK, it's probably going to take a little while to integrate. What else can I say about it? Well, the current user interface of the Views module is kind of overwhelming. So I'd like to see us focus on the Views API first. That means that I want us to focus on the actual query builder, which gives the user interface part some more time to mature. And as I mentioned, the Views module has been written by Earl Miles, but I believe that Earl has a little time or little interest to help with the actual migration work. So I think that I should check again with Earl, that we're looking for more people to help here. And first task would probably be to get the basic Views API in core so that we can use it in Drupal core to rewrite some of the existing core modules. And I think the tracker module is a particularly good example. For example, we could use the API module or the Views API to rewrite the tracker module and even to extend the tracker module. So, for example, we could add a feature to the tracker module that allows you to sort nodes by type, or maybe even a feature that allows you to export the notes or the comments you haven't read yet as an RSS feed. So if we get the core of the Views modules without the user interface into core, we could already use it internally to rewrite parts of the Drupal core. And then the Views user interface itself, I spent a couple hours playing around with it a few weeks ago, and I really think the user interface could switch off further forms API developments. And one notable improvement would be support for wizards. And I believe Adrian Russo, working for Bright, working on further improving forms API and extending the form API to support wizards. So that's another reason probably to postpone your work on the migrating the user interface of the Views modules to core. That is about the Views module, I think. The fourth item I have on my list, improve the URL aliasing codes in the Drupal core. So the URL aliasing is taken care of by the bot module, and it allows you to create clean and human-readable URLs for your content. Currently it works great, and I use it all the time, but it's often quite a bit of work to all of your URLs, or to make them all clean and human-readable. For example, on my personal website, I use the free tagging functionality of the taxonomy module to categorize all my posts. And right now, having to create a clean and human-readable URL for each or for all of my tags is quite a bit of work. It takes quite a few clicks to get to the administration page, to find the URL, and so forth and so forth. And so some people, and I'm ill about it on the mailing list, some people suggested that we move the bot auto module or module, I keep mixing that up, to core, but I looked at the code and I'm not too sure about it. Looks like it might need quite a bit of work to make that work. So either way, I think the goal here is to make it easier for both users and modules to create clean human readable URLs. And like, if we can make it easier for users to create clean URLs for each of their tags, if we just look at the tag example, but there's many other examples, then that's going to be a big win. On the other hand, if we can make it easier for modules or for developers to automatically create clean URLs for their tags, that's going to be another. So really there's two sides here, and the one side is making it easier for users to enter clean URLs for many things, and the other thing is making it easier for modules to create clean URLs in an automatic fashion. So personally, I would focus on the former, because the existing POP auto module probably takes care of the latter already. Again, I think we still have to figure out most of this, but if someone does that, that would be great. Okay, so we have the install system, the CCK, the views module, and the URL alias and code. So the fifth item on my list would be the theme system. What would we change about the theme system? Well, we talked about this on the development mailing list. With every major release, we rolled out one or more important theme system improvements. And I really believe and I hope that we can continue that trend in order to make Drupal easier to design for. So in 4.7, the last Drupal version, we made the PHP template engine the default template engine. Now, in the next version of Drupal, I would like to make it the default fallback mechanism. So how shall I explain it? Well, as you probably know, the current fallback mechanism for the theme system uses theme functions that are part of the Drupal. So when Drupal needs to theme a piece of content, it will look for a certain function, a theme function in the code. Now, to make the PHP template engine default callback, we need to change a few things so that when Drupal needs to theme a piece of content, it will now look for a template file rather than for a function in the module's code. Well, that's maybe a little bit technical to explain without slides. Clear advantages, which are probably easy to get across. Now, the first important advantage would be that we move all the programs out of the modules to template files. And by doing so, we make the modules a lot smaller, and therefore they're likely to improve the memory footprint and the execution time of nearly all Drupal pages. So it's going to be faster. You'll probably be able to use more Apache processes because you have more memory left. A second important advantage of moving to a version is that it actually enforces a clean separation between the actual code and the presentation of the data. And by doing that, it's a lot easier to detect violations of where there's no clean separation of both. So that's another important advantage. The third important advantage is that it will actually make it easier to create themes for Drupal. Why? Like, imagine you want to create theme a certain piece of content. Now, rather than having to look for a theme function in the code as a designer to figure out what you need to theme and how you need to theme it, and to manually convert that PHP function to a template, you can now simply copy the default template to your theme directory. So with the proposed system, a designer no longer has to know any PHP. He just has to copy an existing template file to its theme directory and start hacking away on the template file. So it actually makes for super easy cleaning, I believe. Vlado Bikini is working on this, and it's preparing some scripts which will automatically convert the theme functions to template files. This will be a tremendous help for the migration. And will also be very make it very easy to test and experiment with all of this. So if you want to help with this, or if you want to get early access to these scripts, get in touch with Flatto. It's best, you know, you can find Flatto on the development mailing list. So just send an email to the list, and they'll probably respond. So moving to template files is an important step for designers. Now, one of the changes related to that is that files and now their template files to their own directory. And this, in turn, has an additional advantage, namely that we can split some of the global CSS files into smaller CSS files and also move these in the module-specific directory. And I believe Ted Serbinski, Maverick, has an interest in this. So if you want to help with that, maybe check with Maverick. So I'm giving all the other people a lot of extra work here. he's shouting yes now, so I guess he's happy with extra work. Anyway, on to the next item. The sixth item on my list, or on my slide, virtual slide, would be image and document handling. Again, it's something which has been on my to-do list or on the to-do list for a very long time, and many people agree with the fact that we could definitely use some improvements in this area. The problem, however, is that there's a lot of different ways to tackle the problem of image handling. I looked at some of them, and my personal opinion is that growing the upload module, making it a little bit better and making it easier to inline into your posts is going to be the most helpful, as well as changing the underlying file to be a little bit more secure and so forth. So from a user point of view, I think it would be nice if it was easier to embed images in code. Being able to create galleries is probably also important, but I think it's slightly less important than being able to embed the images in posts. Neither do I think we need a full-blown WYSIWYG editor in core. So it's a little bit vague what exactly we want here, but I think any small usability improvements to the upload module, I believe, would come along. So ideas in this area are welcome. As for changing or reworking some of the underlying file API changes, I believe James Walker has been doing, or is going to do some work on this, so maybe check with him. So we have the install system, the CCK, the views module, URL aliasing, in-system, and better image handling. The seventh, and this is a long list, but I'll try to keep it down to the top 10 most important changes in my view. So the seventh item on my list would be getting a better default theme into Drupal 4. I think most of us are actually pretty sick of the default Marine theme. So it's time for a change, I guess. Also because the Blue Marine theme used to be cool, but nowadays it's rather boring. So, so the goal is actually to replace one of the core themes with something which is a little bit more fashionable, which is also, most importantly, a little bit more sexy. Sexy is important because it makes for a better first impression than the current team. We talked about this in Vancouver at the Drupal conference in Vancouver, and Zach Rosen from CivicSpace and Jeff Robbins from Lullabot. They actually started working on this a couple of months ago. I'm not entirely sure what happened to their efforts, but if you want to help here, if you want one of your teams to be part of Drupal Core and be used by thousands of people, you might check with them. Okay, so the next item on my list is internationalization, making it possible to translate content. It's very important for people, especially people in Europe, but also people in Canada. We really have to figure out a way, an elegant solution to make this happen. There's people working on that, but I haven't checked their latest efforts, but it's something I truly feel is important, which many of us have been neglecting for a while. So how much time do I have left? Does anyone have an idea? Because I keep talking and talking. So, yeah, I should keep going, apparently. The ninth item on my list, well, it's not actually an item on its own, but there's like a ton of smaller changes, mostly usability changes and performance improvements, which could make it into Drupal Core. Some of them are like, I went over the list of patches which we decided to postpone for 4.7, and which will hopefully be part of the next release. And like some of these include like the block visibility by role patch. We really got to revive that. There's also people have been asking for years for forum module improvement. So I'd really love to have some of the flat forum modules functionality into Core and so forth. There's more, so that I think I should keep the list down to these, because it's getting a long list already, and it's probably hard to even put this. But obviously, implementing all of the proposed changes by the next version is way too ambitious. It's obviously not going to work, especially because the next code freeze is scheduled for September 1st, and that's only 3 months from now, so we don't have an awful lot of time left. So if a couple of these or some other improvements make it into Drupal Core, I would be very happy already. So if you want to help, please do. If you don't know where to start, send an email to the developer's mailing list. They'll try to hook you up with the right people. Also, I would like to point out that this list was not meant to be an exhaustive list of changes. There's many different or many other development efforts going on, many of which I know of and that I haven't mentioned. And as I said, I can talk on and on for hours about those. My point is that if you'd like to see any other changes into Drupal Core, please provide patches for that, even if they have not been mentioned right now. We'll be happy to review and test them, and hopefully they'll make it into Drupal Core. We're always looking for new talents and for clever improvements. So do your best. And I think that's about it. I think I spent 30 minutes talking, which was way longer than was planned. So is there time for questions? Yeah? Should I, like, read questions from the chat? Or are people going to, or are people going to ask questions over the chat? So feel free to ask some questions. So, there's Bulan asks about the Drupal Foundation a few comments ago. It's a bit of a loaded question. We've been talking to many other open source foundations, so people from KDE, people from Plone, all have their own stories. Some claim we should do this, some claim we should do that. We're still currently researching what the best approach would be. We also talked to the people of PHP and some other people, and they essentially said that there was no need for a foundation. They never needed one, and whenever they needed money, they would just ask for a sponsorship and so forth. So it's still pretty much ongoing. We're researching the options, but as soon as we know more, we'll make sure to comment on that.
Hi.
Yeah, hello. So one of the questions being asked here is from Tim Cien. If there is any chance, the question is this, is there any chance that Drupal will adopt a third-party JavaScript library? And the answer to the question is, I don't know. It really depends. Right now, we have all our own JavaScript, and it seems to work fine. Whether we adopt a third-party JavaScript one will depend on the library. We haven't really, or at least I haven't compared any of these yet. So we'll have to figure it out. But we'll have to see. I have no concrete answer for that right now. Any other questions? Okay, so one of the questions, what are the things you find most valuable in the accepted Summer of Code projects? I don't know all the projects I have. But like I said, my personal interest and what I personally feel is very important is to make Drupal more accessible to both users, developers, and designers. So any of the projects that help with those would be my favorite ones. And then there's, of course, always some of the more experimental, innovative projects. They're always nice to follow up on. I'll go over the list of projects one time, and I'll comment on that afterwards. But like I said, I don't know all the projects by head right now. So, any other questions? Scrolling over the chat log. So Jeff Gay asks when I will be done with my PhD. The answer is hopefully within 1 year. We'll see how it goes. Jake asks another question, and it goes like this. Do you think you'll always lead Drupal, or is it grating on your time too much? I can't look in the future, so we'll see what happens. But right now, Drupal is great fun, so I really enjoy working on Drupal. And I think the time is spending my free time working on Drupal is well spent. It's also very educational for me. It always has been from day one. So I think as long as it keeps interesting and fun, I will continue to contribute to Drupal in the ways that are within my capabilities. So hope that answers the question. Here's a question from Kuni, and he's asking about whether image module should be part of core, yes or no. Like I said earlier, lots of people are downloading image-related modules from the contributions repository, and there's many different use cases for images. Some people want to embed images in their posts. Other people want to create galleries. Now, We'll have to do a little bit more research on that, but I believe from what I've seen, that most people just want to embed images in their posts, and especially make it easier to embed images in their posts and to position these images. And relatively fewer people care about galleries, although still many people do care. So if we move the image module to Core, it essentially means we'll be offering gallery functionality in Drupal Core, which I'm not sure is what most people are looking for. So I think we should investigate this some more, discuss this some more on the mailing list, and then decide what to do about it. Mozilla Man, is there like any other questions, or should I wrap this up? I guess next person on the list was CHX, Caroli. It's all yours. Thanks for listening.
Well, Caroli was having some microphone problems, and he really wasn't understandable, so I'm just going to edit him out of here entirely, and we will just go right to Angie Byron. We'll pick up with Caroli on another podcast at another time.
Hi, guys. This is Angie Webchick. Can you hear me okay? Awesome. Cool. Okay. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Summer of Code stuff that Drupal was picked as one of the Google's Summer of Code organizations to receive some students. I'll just go over briefly what Summer of Code is in case people don't know. Basically, once a year, well, since 2005, so 2 years in a row, Google has agreed to sponsor, last year it was $2 million, and this year it's $3 million of investment into students to do open source programs over the summer, which is a really cool program. It gives people the opportunity to get involved in open source development if they haven't been before, and it's actually how I started with Drupal last year. So this year we had 14 slots that we were able to accept. It's unfortunate because we got tons of great applications, and we really wish we could have been able to take everybody, but you know, Google had to be fair to all the different organizations, so Drupal ended up with 14, which was really cool, actually. It was one of the top 10 organizations in terms of slots allocated and stuff. So I'll just quickly run through the projects that we were approved for. The first is View Scheduler, and this is going to allow basically publishers to open up a lot of possibilities in terms of how they're going to publish content on a schedule and what it looks like and all kinds of cool stuff. There's a social networking analysis tool. This is kind of like OCRT. I don't know how to pronounce that word, but OCRT-like functionality for Drupal, the Google social networking thing. Oh, yeah, thanks. Node 65244 is a good URL to go to on Drupal.org. That shows all the projects that we were approved for. So thanks, Dave. The next one's up is Ajax Form Creator. And Caroli touched on that briefly. What that's basically going to do is make it much easier for developers to create modules with forms. So it kind of ties into what Dries was talking about earlier, to make Drupal easier to develop for and also easier to learn. We also have the Ultimate LaTeX module, and this is something Daniel's developing. It's really going to be cool if he pulls it off because it'll be a unique feature for Drupal among other CMS systems. And it also opens up Drupal to use by the scientific community and mathematics and that sort of stuff. So very cool. The collaborative editor proposal, that's basically making Writely for Drupal. So that'll be awesome. It'll really help with collaborative documentation of content and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, Writely. Oh, is what? Right. Writely is basically an editing interface where more than one person can edit a document at the same time. Right now, Google bought it. Thanks. right now, when you edit content and someone else is editing content, when he changes it, it overwrites your changes, and it's a whole thing. Yes, Tim Cien pointed out it's similar to Sabita edits. Live editing with Ajax. There we go. Jeremy Epstein is going to be working on the import-export API module. So this is going to provide one central method for importing and exporting of content, which is going to be really cool. And also on the subject of usability, we have Constantine, who is working on administration usability improvements, so trying to take a lot of the tediousness out of doing editing and reducing page refreshes required to do simple things just like expanding menus and stuff like that. So that would be awesome when that gets in. There's also a multi-site administration tool through XUL. This is kind of a tool for Drupal hosting providers if they'd like to maintain several sites, providing a web-based interface for doing that kind of thing. So very cool. Image Magic integration is something that's going to be awesome for themers. It's going to let themers basically make all kinds of little subtle changes to themes using Image Magic, so adding a logo, manipulating images, all kinds of cool stuff. So Adrian is really excited about that one, and Stefan Nintendo is also a mentor on that project. The next one up is assignment and gradebook, and this is really cool because right now for free and open source software, Moodle is kind of the only option that a lot of these places have to not go with something, commercial like WebCT, which is just horrendous. And Moodle can't do a lot of the cool stuff that Drupal can. You're kind of locked into formulating your stuff by classes and this kind of thing. So what this will do is kind of open up Drupal to be used by the educational community, which is going to be awesome. Unit test automation is the next one up, and if we can pull this off, it'll be awesome because it will. I keep saying awesome. I'm really sorry about that. I'll get a different word in my vocabulary, but unit test automation is basically going to allow to automate a lot of the tediousness of patch review. For instance, it will tell you instantaneously if a patch compiles again or patch is compiled. What's the word I'm looking for, guys? A patch applies. Thank you. It applies to Drupal without you having to download it and install a test system and then apply the patch and then get all kinds of hunk failures and all this kind of stuff. And it will also let you know if once you've submitted a patch, if it breaks any additional Drupal functionality, which is going to be huge because the way we do testing right now is a little bit kind of silly. So that'll be awesome if we can pull that one off. And there's also the content recommendation engine, and that will take a bunch of different factors and sort of say, well, if you like this, then you probably like this, that kind of stuff. It's important for social networking sites and also probably e-commerce sites and things like that. The next one up is a GData module. GData is a new data exchange format that Google has developed, and that's going to basically open up Drupal to be used by that. And while there's no guarantees, usually anything Drupal does ends up being a de facto standard. So it's good for Drupal to get on the bandwagon with that early, and Sumit is helping us out with that. So. And then finally, there's a CCK profile module. What this will do is basically make profiles nodes, which opens up all kinds of options for extending what user profiles can do, and it also makes it so we only have one interface for adding and changing fields. CCK is just much more robust than the profile module for doing stuff like adding a text field and adding a number field and all this kind of stuff. So that should be very cool. And that's it. We do have a couple of students that were able to make it to this meeting, so I'll shut up and let them talk if they're able to. Guys, you might want to PM Mozillaman with your details, and he can get you hooked up so you can talk online. Does anybody have any questions while Mozillaman is getting that set up? Sorry for rambling. just kind of introduce yourselves and talk, maybe give a brief overview of the project and that kind of thing. From last year, how many Summer Code projects from last year got finished? No, I'm not singing a song. From last year, 9 students finished out of 11, and 8 projects out of 11 were finished, because quiz module student number 2 was one of the people that didn't make it, so therefore quiz module kind of suffered because as a result of that. And I'm still working on trying to get quiz module to a usable state, but there we go. Descriptions was 1, getting email notifications in the core. Dave, I don't know what... Oh, okay. That was one of the ones that didn't make it. Right. Thanks. Any advice for current summer code students as a former student yourself? The biggest advice I can give is just get involved, because you have been handed, well, not handed, you guys worked your butt off to get a good application in and stuff, but you guys are privy to this awesome experience, because basically you get a whole summer to just immerse yourself in open source development, which not very many people do. Most people have to kind of fit this stuff in between other things. So this is a great opportunity, and there are so many areas in Drupal where you can help out and get involved, and there's just some awesome, totally knowledgeable people here, and just, you know, just go crazy and get as involved as you can. You know, if you're stuck on a problem, go write some documentation or review a patch, or, you know, that's how I got started, and now I get paid to do this stuff full time, so, which is pretty cool. And then other than that, just basically, you know, time management, keep in good contact with your mentors and all that. And there's also a question, anybody that didn't make it this year, but the community wants that project done? Yeah, there were tons. The two I can think of off the top of my head was a few calendar style. There was also an upgrade to the video module that didn't get approved. There was one about a Drupal documentation management stuff. There was one on token-based authentication. There's just all kinds of awesome ideas, but we just couldn't accept everybody, unfortunately, and we had to kind of prioritize, and this is what we came up with.
Can you hear me?
And you guys can start talking, and I'll mute myself. So thanks a lot, everybody.
Can everybody hear me? Okay, good. So I am Konstantin Käfer. My project is Administration Usability Improvements. And this project basically includes a tree control. That means that you can easily expand and collapse items in a tree. For example, menu trees. And you can also reorder items within the tree via drag and drop. Yes, I am Tim CN who's talking. And okay. A second thing on my list is quick editing. That means you can click on, for example, a label or a string within the user interface. And that string is replaced with an input form, and you can write a new description or a new type for that item and click on save, and it's automatically saved via Ajax. This will probably speed up administration process a lot. I can imagine that we could use, for example, on taxonomy forms, where you can just rename your term we are clicking on it. And, okay, THX, that's me, Konstantin Käfer, or Tim CM. Okay. And the third item on my list is, what was it again? Quick toggling. For example, if you have checkboxes, you can quick toggle them with simply clicking on them. For example, publishing, unpublishing on them, and so on. Praesidem asked a question. What are your plans for speeding up the Drupal bootstrap, and how will you handle things like validation? Bootstrapping is kind of a big issue, because at the moment the bootstrapping process is quite a thing, and it could probably become a performance issue if all HX handlers, all callbacks are handled with a regular side view. But at the moment, I don't know if I am using the regular Drupal bootstrapping process and, for example, plugging that into init and hook init. But that's definitely something we have to consider. Okay, any other questions? Jeff Context asked a question. What do you think of an admin API so developers can easily create an admin site that does whatever they want? Well, at the moment, I actually don't know what he means with that. Could you explain that a bit? Is a site that only selectively presents critical functionality? I think that's pretty vague. So at the moment, I can't speak about that. Have you worked on Drupal previously? Yes, I have done some Drupal work. It's also mentioned in the application what shows up on the admin panel. Well, I think that I first finish what I plan for Drupal Summer of Code, and then we'll and then I'll continue probably doing things, but at the moment I don't know. Any questions, or should Arava continue? Okay. Then thanks for listening to me, and here's Arava.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Fani Kumar Arava. I'll be looking at the Image Magic module for the next, say, 10 weeks as part of the SWAT program. I mean, I'm planning to do something like, you know, using Image Magic for, you know, Drupal to integrate both, both the core and, you know, upload module for a better usage of, you know, images. So, yeah, that's what I'm planning for. Let's see where it goes. I was previously working on GD for, you know, some of the new major stuff. I think it does not have that much functionality as, like, Image Magic, like, for example, say, like, blur or, you know, adding any frames to it or something like that. GD does very simple manipulations, like, you know, for example, coloring, adding, merging two images or something like that, creating your own images. But I don't see much advantage with GD, but Image Magic has really good features. Like, you know, if you go with Image Magic, and they have a functionality, they have a program called Conjure, which basically takes in a XML file and you can create your own. I mean, you can manipulate the image like crazy. So maybe that's what we want to use for.
Okay, I think that wraps up questions.
Okay, so next.
Okay, you're next. Hey guys, I'm FLK, also known as Shakur. I'm going to be working on the, I don't know what it's called, yeah, view scheduler. This project is in two sections. One, the first, being able to schedule when nodes to be published at certain chosen time by the administrator or the editor. And we want to make it so that once an editor or a writer writes what he wants, he can set a time for that item to be published, not worry about anything else. So once he sets it, it runs, whether it be daily, weekly, or whatever it's set as. And then once the time comes, bang, it gets published into the front page. The second part of this project is being able to customize what a person views. So when a person logs in, he should be able to customize what he sees depending on the taxonomy tags that he chooses. So all new content in that taxonomy tags the user chooses, they'll simply either get an email updating them on certain item has been updated or certain new things have come up and that doesn't taxonomy, and you can view them here. So once a person logs in, they have two two tabs. One is the normal view of the site, and the second is the view that he has chosen, customized with the taxonomy type the person has chosen. It's harder than it looks, actually. Basically with this speed schedule, what we're trying to make is that an editor edits, an admin admins the site, and a writer writes, so that it saves the problem of an editor doesn't need to know about how the site works, etc., but does his editing, sets the time, and everything lines up. So for an editor, for example, the use of this would be he would get an editor's queue, and everything in there would be all the things that the editor needs to edit, and once then, into the and schedule a queue, which means that it tells them so once it's a top down choice where they just pop and then next thing moves into place. And that's about it, I think.
Okay. Until we can figure out what for our estimate data section.
Okay, I may as well do my bit now. Hi guys, I'm Jeremy Epstein, aka Jazza, and the project that I'm doing for the Summer of Code is the import-export API, and this project is basically to make a generic standard way of getting data in and out of Drupal, mainly out to plain text files, XML and CSV. This project needs to be done, in my opinion, because there are a number of modules already in Drupal Contrib that do this in a whole lot of different ways, and there really needs to be a standard way to do this. So there are modules already to import and export individual nodes, trees of book nodes, user profiles, taxonomy data, and a whole lot of other stuff. And all of those modules support different input formats, and they all handle the processing in different ways. One of the really important things that an import-export API needs to handle is proper handling of IDs. So if you want to import data and retain the IDs that all your data had in another site that you exported it from, you should be able to do that. Or if you want to recreate new IDs and have related data all linked together properly, you should be able to do that too. So that's the main aim of this API, that it will allow you to export any it's all interrelated and it all has a lot of IDs that are linked to each other, and to export that all in a standard way. But yeah, any questions, guys? Have you thought of using simple XML of PHP 5? No. At the moment, the plan is just to use either Drupal's current XML handling system, which is pretty crude, or to develop an XML system based on what the existing Contrib modules use, such as book import and taxonomy XML. But I'll definitely look into it. Thanks, okay. And sorry, guys, I do have kind of a sore throat. Okay, Spork asks, do you plan to provide a CSV import UI similar to the user import module? Yeah, it's going to be kind of similar, but the idea is that the UI is going to be fairly standard, and no matter what data you're importing or exporting, it's going to be familiar. Okay, SLK says that all that's left is for me to say, my name is Bond, James Bond.
Okay, I'm Sumit and I'm working on the GData module for Drupal. Am I speaking very fast or like it's not clear? Is it clear? Okay, it's good enough. Now GData module is basically GData is a new protocol from Google which aims to combine both RSS and Atom technique which will allow for syndication for query as in search and for updation and insertion. So a lot of things which are pretty much available in Atom as well as RSS combined but not with one technology or one protocol. So GData is the one solution for all these things. And since the Atom publishing format has not been popular anyway, so I think GData is the one to be popular. Again, GData comes from Google. Anything that comes from Google Stable seems to be very popular with people. So there is a point that GData will make it very popular. GData is a module still being worked on by Google. So it's pretty much incomplete. Lot of parts of GData are still not working well, I think, and the client part mostly isn't complete. So there is a little bit of problem. I do understand the problem, and I think that by the end of the month of July, they will be complete with their protocol. Now I'll give you a little bit of introduction of what I'm trying to do in this module. The module will try to interact with people and in clients. Does. You can query the module, you can search for any data, you can insert data, you can update data. Insert is done by HTTP post method, update is done by put method, delete is done by delete. But probably as you all know that delete post, delete put are very kind of obsolete methods. So there are alternatives to that. The alternatives are putting headers as HTTP method override put and method override delete for put and delete respectively. This whole thing makes it possible to work with older clients or you know client libraries which don't really support HTTP put or delete. There is one big problem with the GData module. The biggest problem till now is that I cannot use the normal bootstrap method because I have to use the Q string. For query. For querying purposes, the general URL of the site, of the general URL will be as in site.com/q=query. So since Q is used internally by Drupal, we cannot use that as a normal, with the normal bootstrap method. That is why I have to come up with a extra PHP file. For example, let's say gfeed.php. Which will do the actual part of taking in the query and to forwarding it to the Drupal behind, working behind. So the Drupal, actual Drupal GData module works behind Drupal, but we have an extra bootstrap file called, let's say, GP, which takes in the user's request and forwards it to Drupal. That is how things have been planned till now. At least that is what I have planned till now. Any other questions?
Okay, not. So that can be it for the conference today. Jeff from Lullabies for the call, and it'll be getting to a podcast, and that is the group, I suppose. So welcome for joining.
Well, that at the end there was Robin Monks, who organized the whole teleconference. Really great of him to do that. Telling everyone to have a nice night or day, and that Jeff Robbins from Lullabot will be putting this up on Drupal.org, which is probably where you got it from in the first place.
The moderator has disconnected.
Are you guys to always 45 minutes?